morning, family and friends of Alamo United Methodist Church. What a special day this is, amongst other special things. Oh, is the microphone on? Not very well. When I quit, but it doesn't. I can yell, but not going to do much good. So, all I can say for sure is listen to me instead of talking to my friends. Anyway, a beautiful day it is.
And amen.
The fourth Sunday of Advent. So the way we've laid our calendar out, God only knows how long ago, we decided this was the last chance before, well, the day ends with Christmas Eve, tomorrow, Christmas Day. And beautiful, beautiful days, no matter how you slice them. But the scripture that we have appointed for opening the service this morning is commonly referred to by a great number of people around the world as Mary's song. Mary had gone to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And according to our Bible, when Mary went into Elizabeth's home and said and greeted her, whatever she said, good morning or whatever, the baby, John the Baptist, leaped in Elizabeth's womb. And the story goes on that Elizabeth blessed Mary at that moment because she knew that Mary was going to be the mother of the Messiah. And they've been looking for this for a long time, but the scripture picks up with, and Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced,
yes,
in
Lord.
God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant.
Yes.
For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him. From generation to generation, she has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in both the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, gracious and merciful Heavenly Father. O Lord, you brought us so far. It's almost the end of the year, but Lord, we thank you for bringing us thus far. And we look to you, Lord, to take us all the way into the new year. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless this congregation today in a very special way. Not because, just because it's Christmas Eve, but because, Lord, we are your children, and we know that you love us very much. And we look to you, Lord, for everything. We pray that our worship would be okay with you, that we came here for the right reason, and that is to worship. And now, Lord, we look to you, and we ask you to bless this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
How you doing? Thank you. Thank you, huh?
fourth week of Advent. The fourth candle, to remind us of Mary, who humbly received God's will as her own. Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be unto me according to thy word." O God, our Father, we thank you for the joyful experience of Mary. Help us to honor her lowly grace and to share in the humility which does not despise the Christ who comes as a child born in a stable. Amen.
Christmas Eve service in the sanctuary, because tomorrow we're celebrating somebody's birthday. Whose birthday are we celebrating tomorrow? Oh, Holly Osborne. Oh, and Jesus. We're celebrating Jesus' birthday tomorrow and Holly Osborne. On the 30th, we have Jessica Cross Rivera, and on the 31st, Sonny Gossett. So, what is it? Frosty the Snowman said, "Happy birthday." So we're going to sing "Happy Birthday."
Happy birthday to you.
Don't forget your poinsettias. Don't forget your Christmas cards. And don't forget to sign up for 2024. The liturgist sign up sheet is back there. Amen? Amen.
Would you stand for our opening hymn? What Child Is This? What child is this? Thank you.
Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, in this season of giving, we remember that this is a time that we celebrate a secular time of giving, but we also recognize the ultimate gift, the gift that was given to us by you, the gift of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. During this time, please open our hearts so that we may be the cheerful givers that you deserve and that you seek. Help us to give generously. And further, Lord, take our tithes and our offerings. Use them for your kingdom here on earth. In Christ's name, amen.
Scripture is from Titus, second chapter, verses 12 through 14. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in his present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, God. Thank you, choir. That was beautiful. Merry Christmas, everybody. Let us pray. Help us to serve others. God, we pray that by your Spirit in us today, that good works will flow from us, O God. May our good works today bring you much glory in the lives of the people we're around. God, help us to do good works in public and in private. And the people of God say,
Amen.
Thank you.
Take a moment. Let the peace of Christ enter yourself at this time. Let us go to God in prayer. Father, we come listening. We come seeking your word. We ask, Lord, that as we hear your scriptures explained to us, that the message that your Spirit has given to Pastor Ted will burn within each of us. We ask, Lord, that you strengthen Pastor Ted. Give him peace. Give him strength. And give him courage to speak your words. And let us take the message that we hear today with us as we leave. And let us spread that word to the whole world. These things we ask in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Good morning. You know, we almost made it. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and it is also
Christmas Eve.
That's right, Christmas Eve. And today we lit the fourth candle on the Advent wreath, and that was the candle of love. So I have two gifts here in this package. Now, the last time I showed you guys a gift, it wasn't very good, was it? So I have two gifts. I have this one that's beautifully wrapped. Pass that around, okay? And I have this other gift. Might be a piece of coal. So pass that one around. Now, if you had a choice, which gift would you pick? Which gift would you pick? Well, you know, if you had that gift and you were hoping for something, call out one of the favorite things you would like to have in that box. Just yell it out. What would you like to have in that box? What do you think? A dog? Yep. That would be a good Christmas present, wouldn't it? I think I really need a new purse, so I'm kind of hoping there's a purse in that box. But on Christmas morning, we might wake up and we might find some brightly colored packages tied up with ribbons and bows. But if on Christmas morning you found a package with your name on it that was wrapped in the plain brown paper and tied up maybe with a rope or a string, what would you be your reaction? What would be your reaction? Would you be excited?
No.
I don't think I'd be excited either. And it could be something like a rock, or it could be a brick, or you don't know what. But maybe that's why so many people missed out on God's gift. You know, we celebrate Christmas because it's Jesus' birthday. And it was God's gift of Jesus, his only son. And he didn't come in a fancy wrapping. He didn't have a beautiful nursery that was all painted blue for him, or a beautiful crib with a mattress and everything. His mother was a young virgin, and his father was a poor carpenter. And he was born in a stable. That wouldn't be a very pretty package, would it? But despite the wrapping, Jesus is the greatest gift that we have ever received. And he offered us salvation and eternal life. So the Bible tells us that Mary found out she was chosen to deliver God's gift to the world. And she was filled with joy. And then she hurried to her cousin Elizabeth's house. And Elizabeth told her that when she gave her a greeting, that the baby she was carrying leaped for joy in her stomach. So, blessed are you among women, Elizabeth told Mary. Blessed is the child you will bear, and you are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do all that he said he would do. Through Jesus, God sent us the gift of his love. But some people are busy unwrapping the beautifully wrapped presents this world has to offer, and so they've missed out on that gift. So I hope that this Christmas we don't miss out on remembering the gift that God gave us. So let's pray. Dear Father, we are thankful that you loved us so much that you sent your only Son to be our Savior. Help us to remember him and his birthday on this special Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Good morning. It's so good to see you here this morning. So good that you were able to come another day, another Sunday, to worship the Lord. Worship one who loves you very much and who stands ready to answer your prayers as long as you are willing to pray to him. Amen? As long as your relationship is right with him. Our title this morning is called The Final Advent. The final advent. And we are at the end of our advent season. We're the fourth candle. But today we want to talk about something else about advent. You see, we're waiting for something. We are waiting, we being believers, Christians, we are waiting for the Lord's return. We're not waiting for Santa Claus, amen? We're waiting for Jesus. And one of the things that in the scripture that we have this morning in Titus, the second chapter, verses 13 through 14, I'm sorry, 12, verse 12, it's going to teach us what we should be doing while we are waiting on the Lord's return. And I've said this, and I'll keep saying it. You know, Jesus is going to come one day. He is. He's coming. And he's going to come like a thief in the night. It's going to be a time when everybody's going to be so happy and everything. Everybody's going to be so joyful. And then he's going to come. But for the believer, that's what we're waiting for. So we want to, we are experiencing something wonderful during this season. And last night we had a chance to go out and look at some lights and enjoy the season, and it was awesome. And people were so friendly, they were so happy, so joyful. Everybody was in a good mood, you know. Nobody was trying to run over each other. It was Christmas, and we were all nice to each other. What a great time. What a great time for Christians to let their light shine, to let them see what you're doing as far as Jesus is concerned, and enable them to say, hey, This could be every day. This could be every day. So I want to just kind of want you to think back a little bit for a minute. A day like this was a very special day when I was growing up because, you know, there was presents under that tree and I wanted them. And I just couldn't wait to get at those presents. I could not wait till Christmas morning. I tell you, I tried to stay up all night, but somewhere along the line, I just didn't make it. And I'd fall asleep, and lo and behold, it'd be Christmas morning, and we'd get up, and we'd open those presents. We were really expecting something very powerful and joy. But you know what? We always... something that I'll have to confess to you. On December the 26th, the day after, I was already waiting for next year's Christmas. I already had my little list out, what I wanted. And I was really expecting, and that's what we should be doing now, expecting something very powerful and joyful for His return. You know, so, and I want to talk to you today briefly about what we are called to do, to wait for Christ's return, which is a promise in Scripture. We know that one day Jesus is going to return. But in the meantime, what in the world are we supposed to be doing? What are we supposed to be doing while we're waiting for His return? You see, the word Advent means arrival. And we know that Christ came once and He's going to return. So let's learn today what He wants us to do prior to Him coming. Titus 2:12 lets us know what we should do. It says, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. One of the points I believe that the scripture points out to us is that we have got to develop wisdom. You know, we've got to develop wisdom. And the book of Proverbs is a great place to go and learn something about the type of wisdom that the Lord wants us to have. You see, Proverbs says this. It teaches that wisdom for the believer is fearing the Lord. Amen? If you want to be wise, the first thing that you're going to have to do is fear the Lord. And not fear Him because you're scared you're going to get a whooping when you do something bad. Of course, you might end up doing that. But you fear Him because you want to be obedient and you love Him very much. A story goes back when I was a young man. I did something wrong and it disappointed me. And the hurt that I felt because it disappointed my dad so bad what I did. He was so disappointed in me. And that really hurt me that day. And perhaps when you do something wrong against the Lord, you should hurt also. That's the kind of fear. Fear to the point that you want to be obedient to the Lord. Gain wisdom. You know, now, whether you would call this season good, bad, or ugly, you can still get wisdom. And I would argue that it is in the toughest seasons of our life that we have the greatest opportunity to gain the kind of wisdom. Because sometimes, folks, in seasons, it can feel difficult to follow God and a God that we cannot feel and touch. So we need to develop wisdom. We need to know how or what we are to do while we're waiting. And Titus 12 tells us that we are to live controlled and godly lives. The second point that Paul wants to make in this verse is that we are to have complete devotion to God. If you're going to have devotion to God, you're going to have to do this for sure. You're going to have to give up depending on yourself. Amen? And when I say that, you're going to have to give up relying on yourself and learn to trust and depend on God. Now, and here Paul talks about idolatry, and you can understand that sometimes we put people and things and issues on a pedestal. And those things take our focus away from the Lord. So, and there are so many things that compete for our attention, many of which the devil will use as a distraction. And when we worship something other than God, that becomes an idol. And idolatry is something that goes way back to the Old Testament. And the Israelites, they struggled mightily to worship only God. And they had trouble because they wanted to desire worship other things other than that were made by men. A good story in this is Exodus 32:1, where Moses, the leader of Israel, went up to talk to the Lord on Mount Sinai. And the people there, they got impatient, they got uncomfortable, and they felt like this guy Moses is just not coming back. So what they did, they started to make idols. They made a golden calf, and they started to turn away from the Lord and to worship idols because they couldn't wait. They just couldn't wait. But don't we do the same thing sometimes as believers? We've got the Holy Spirit within us, and yet sometimes we choose to worship things that are right in front of us, things that will never truly satisfy the Spirit satisfies like the Spirit does. One of the things that really catches us, I think, is pride and money. Sometimes we put way too much hope and faith in money when we should put our hope and faith in God. You see, God desires while we're waiting for His return that we get as close to Him as possible. And the ways that you can devote yourself to the Lord is spend some time reading and meditating on God's Word. I would tell you this right now. The more that you read, you get into God's Word, the more that you're going to want to know about Him. And the more that you want to know about Him, the more He's going to show you things, reveal you things about Him. And He's also going to reveal some things to you about yourself. So get close to the Lord while you're waiting for a return. Pray a lot. Pray all the time. Meditate. Don't always put your focus on TV. Hang out with the right people. You know, hang out with Christian folks. Folks that have the same desires and want to love the Lord like you do. You see, and the third point that I want to share with you is in this scripture is that Paul is trying to get a point to us, across to us, is we need to share His message. While we're waiting here for the Lord, we need to be about our Lord's business. And our Lord's business is sharing the good news with other folks. How many folks can you look back in 2023 and say, I shared the gospel with that person? Or how many people can you look back in 2023 and say, that person was hurting and I reached out my hand to say, yes, you know, I can help you. We need to share His message. Jesus tells us that we should be like the salt of the earth, the light of the world. And we can't do that if we quiet. You know, one of the things I found out in my Christian journey is that we Christians, we are so quiet. We just get so quiet when it comes to sharing His Word. Now, we'll share things about sports and other things, but when it comes to sharing what the Lord has, the good news, we tend to be a little quiet. I would encourage you from this point forward to be one who wants to share the gospel. You may be the only person, the only Bible, the only scripture that person may ever hear or see. So share God's word with someone. Share it and ask the Lord for opportunities. I guarantee you, He'll give you plenty of opportunities. The Bible tells us that our mission is that we cannot do it on our own. It's the Holy Spirit that's in us that's going to lead us. It's going to show us toward people with whom to share this message of hope. So think about where we would be without Christ and the hope we have in Him. Think about that for a minute. And this burden, that alone should help us to lead us into relationships with others who don't yet know him. I would say this and argue that during this the Christmas season, people far from God are most sensitive to the message that we have to offer, that Christ has to offer. We go into stores and we see a smiling Santa. We drive by houses at night, everything's lights everywhere. These things bring joy to people, you know, but this joy often leads people to wonder, is this only available during Christmas? Can we have this joy and happiness always? This is the call that the Lord has left us with. You see, the waiting he has called us to is active waiting. And there is a responsibility attached on our end. You see, we remember the story of David we discussed early in this series. He was anointed the next king of Israel, but he had to wait in expectation for when that time would become. So summarily, we are waiting for our king's return. But in the space between, there are many people far from him. So my question today for you is simple. Will you dedicate your life, with your whole self, to God himself? You know, his call prior to us seeing Jesus come again. In Proverbs 27:1, I want you to remember this. If you don't remember anything else I said this morning, tomorrow is not guaranteed. What God has given us today, he has given us to use. How will we use it? Maybe, you know, we you know, what will we do? Whom will we encounter or make the most of that contact? You see, these questions are meant to guide us into a greater devotion to God and his call for us to share. So I want you to remember this morning those three things. We talked about developing wisdom. Wisdom to keep going, to learn, to live, and to walk with the Lord. We talked about devoting ourselves completely to God, not putting anything in front of the Lord. And then we talked about sharing his message. Oh, Christmas is a wonderful time, folks. It's wonderful. But for the believer, it's more to it than lights and presents. For the believer, it is the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as I close this message, I want you to know this, that whatever you do, whatever that you undertake, whatever you hope to do this season, do it all in the name of love. Do it all for Christ. Always remember that he's right there with you, walking with you. And he won't leave you. He says, I'm with you always, always, always. So I want you to go into 2024 with a new attitude. An attitude that says, yes, I'm going to give my all for Christ. I'm going to do everything I can to further the kingdom of God. Because you know what, folks? That's what it's all about. That's why we're here. That's what the Lord wants us to do while we wait for his return. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity. This opportunity, Lord, to tell them that what you want us to do while we wait for you. And oh, Lord Jesus, even so, come quickly, Lord. Come quickly. And Lord, we pray that you will help us to be ready. Our lamps lit and ready. Plenty of oil. Nothing to hide. And this morning, Lord, during the invitation, we pray that if there's someone that needs to rededicate their life, that Lord, the Holy Spirit would prompt them and enable them to do this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As we give the invitation this morning, the altar is open for anyone that wishes to come and rededicate their life to the Lord. The altar is open for anyone who wishes to come to pray. Anyone who needs a touch from the Lord, the altar is open. Would you please stand? Randy?
Our invitation in is, pass me not, O gentle Savior.
time, sometime in the future, and hopefully I'm not around to see it, but when we all go to meet the Lord and see the great Super Bowl that counts, you know, all these ball games are something to distract us a little as time goes by. But the important thing will be when he has that great big celebration and so many of our friends and neighbors will be there with him. And let us be sure and remember everyone in our prayers during this, especially holiday weekend. It was kind of unusual to wake up in the wee hours of this morning with the rain pouring down and my dogs being quiet. You know, usually they get excited, but anyway, we have all sorts of things that are a bit frightening from time to time. But if we happen to remember, well, Lord, this one I hope is on you because I don't know how to handle it, things will go pretty well. And look out for one another. Let us always watch out for our neighbors in everything that comes about. And when you don't know what to do, say a prayer. That works pretty good. But anyway, would you please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And as we go from here today, let us remember all of the homebound people. There's so many that we have in congregations this size. I don't know what the numbers are, but we all need our prayers one way or another. And wish we could do all we can for each of them day by day, but maybe the best thing we can do is ask God to look after them. And now, as when we're out on the streets, watch out, because there's a lot of people out there with keys and ignition and car going down the street, and they're paying no attention to anything except getting to their destination. Remember them. Dodge them. And let us go from here today with the sure knowledge that we can gather again next Sunday and hear the message that our pastor will bring us, and we can share what he has taught us this morning with everyone we meet in the meantime. And now, let us go forth and serve the Lord by serving one another.
Will you stand for our closing hymn? It came upon a midnight clear.
Jesus.